Good day, podcast audience. It's Friday. This is Kenny Hodge, and we're going to continue Tuesday's Take 5 on holiday scheduling. I'm going to jump right into the mail handling contract again, Article 11, Article 11.6. We talk about holiday scheduling. And it's important that you understand that. And let me tell you why. If you look at the mail volume is light. MHA hours are being cut. Overtime is being cut in most facilities. So when we come to a period, and at this time we're talking holiday scheduling, where the opportunity is there to increase your earnings, to make more money, then as a union organization, it's imperative that you enforce that. And what I mean by that is if you look at how to holiday schedule, what you're going to find, the unions and management agree that this is what we're going to do. So I have to keep segueing into that part of our contract. Let's go into holiday scheduling, and I'm going to explain each category so you understand there's an opportunity here for MHAs to work additional work hours. And with the current slash in MHA work hours, I would think that an MHA who now has an opportunity, again, over this three-day holiday period, to maybe work 12 hours of overtime, I think that they would be excited about that. But anyway, let's look at why I feel like that. When we go into our holiday scheduling, Article 11.6, this is the order that employees will be scheduled for holidays. And again, if you follow me down to B1, it'll tell you all available and qualified part-time flexible employees, even if overtime is required. Now, again, we start off understanding holiday scheduling. The first criteria is even if overtime is required. So you have to get a mindset that says, okay, management and our union understands on holidays it's going to be an opportunity for some overtime to be paid, not skirted around. So then we go after that area to full-time and part-time regular employees in order of seniority who have volunteered. So now we're going to say, okay, we got those who are already scheduled to work that day. Now who's going to volunteer to work their holiday? Let me interject with a very important point of fact. There should never be an MHA scheduled to work and a career employee who has volunteered to work is left off the schedule. That should not happen as per holiday scheduling in your contract. After you go through all volunteers, now you bring the MHA into consideration. After you bring the MHAs into consideration, and I got to tell you, you've probably heard me say this 1,000 times before, but when we talk about bringing the MHA into consideration, you got to go down to Article 11.7, Section D. MHAs will be scheduled to work on a holiday or designated holiday after all full-time or part-time volunteers are scheduled to work on their holiday or designated holiday. They will be scheduled to the extent to possible. The extent and hold on to that because possible. I'm going to come back to that. Prior to any full-time volunteer or non-volunteer being scheduled to work on a non-scheduled day or day designated as their holiday are required to work their designated or designated holiday. If the parties have locally negotiated a pecking order that would schedule full-time volunteers on a non-scheduled day, the local memorandum of understanding will apply, and we do not have that in Columbus, so check that in your office. But my point making here is when we talk about forcing regulars to work, your contract with respect to the MHA says You have to work those MHAs to the extent possible before you force. So in an office that has tour-wide or section-wide overtime, you got to look at those MHAs. Are they working 12 hours before you force someone in? Now, I got to tell you, when I say 12 hours, it has always been my understanding in almost 40 years of service, when we talk about maximizing an employee or using you to the fullest extent possible, that means your 8-hour day plus no more than 4 hours, which would constitute a 12-hour day. Now, if that language has changed, then someone should advise the craft, because as of right now, when you max out an overtime desireless person, that means 12 hours. So when you max out, or to the full extent possible, an MHA before you force a career employee to work, well, that means they got to work 12 hours also. Not happening. So here we are at a crossroad where you didn't max out the MHAs, but you forced regulars to work. And earlier when I alluded to an opportunity for MHAs to make a little money on the holiday schedule based on the contract, if you force any regular in, depending on if your contract is by section or by tour, that should guarantee that MHA a 12-hour workday. Who's filing the grievances to ensure that that's being done? No one. And I want to say to union members, should your union give you a reason such as MHAs are working in certain sections and that's why this happened or that happened, let me stop that before it starts. Particularly in Columbus, Ohio, your MHAs aren't assigned anywhere. So if that MHA has the opportunity, and they use it every day, to work in multiple sections, then that still says before you force any regular in, those MHAs must work 12 hours. So again, the contract is set to protect that regular on his holiday, and they are set to the point that they will pay additional funds, additional work hours to that MHA so that the regular stays home. But now let me tell you the twist new postal management has put on this. They look at it as, I'll bring everybody in for 8 hours and let you go home. Not the contract, not the language of the contract, and I'm sorry for those union personnel that allow that to even be an argument that you receive. Not the point of our contract. So, MHAs, I would probably talk to my union and ask them, why didn't I get my 12 hours? Now, you got to make sure that there were regulars forced to work. See, this argument is only valid on the days the regulars are forced to work. And remember, it's a 3-day holiday for scheduling purposes. So you look at those 3 days, you look at, were any regulars forced to work? And if they were, you start doing causative research to help that MHA get paid 4 additional hours for contract violation. Or let me say, that's what I would do. Another sidebar. Let me put this out to my podcast audience. Do not become upset or more frustrated with your union because they don't attack issues in this manner. Let me say, and I'm being whatever. When you've been there forever, everything seems okay because you just remember really when it was very terrible. But the new age, new wave employee, we work a little different. We see things different. I'm old school, but my vision is brand new. We see things different. We see we should have a bigger right, more of a say in how we are treated at work. But I have to find a way to organize you so that you are not afraid to let that voice be heard. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of talent in the mail handler craft that's just going unnoticed because you're so comfortable with status quo. And you have to stop that. There are provisions in your contract, particularly mail handlers and actually all postal employees, that if you take the time to read and try to comprehend it, I mean, to the point that you know what you know, everybody thinks I'm crazy when I make this statement, you're going to find that you don't have a bad job. You got a pretty awesome job. But because you allow management to do what they think is right as opposed to what is contractually right, you take a decent job and you make it one that a lot of you hate to go to every day. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But if I'm right, what are you going to do? You're going to continue to go to work not wanting to go every day? Or at some point, are you going to get active in a movement, a union movement that's going to say, yo, we mad as hell and we ain't taking it no more? In a very peaceful way, of course. I mean, in a way that you force your union to have constructive labor management meetings that you are a part of. This is what I'm talking about, we're mad as hell. Because let me tell you something. I really believe, I do, if you force, and you shouldn't have to, your union to do their job, I kind of believe they might do it. But you got to force them right now. And I'm sorry how that came out, but that's what I believe. And that's what a lot of others believe. And I know you say, well, why should I have to pay union dues and force someone to do the job? That's just the nature of the beast right now. I said, and that's all I can say, but that's just the nature of the beast. And it's not everywhere, but it's enough places that it's an issue. As mail handlers, we have become complacent with understanding that it's not going to be all right. We understand that, oh, that part of the contract, nobody ever enforces that. Wrong answer. We have to take that contract and understand it to the point. But see, once again, when you start to understand, you got to understand the philosophy behind what we're trying to understand. And we're trying to understand, here's the mindset when you're studying. This book is designed to help me. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to understand this book for the intent it was drafted for. And that is to ensure certain rights to me as an employee while I am employed for the organization. See, we're not going to look at this book anymore as, oh, this is what management can get away with. No, no. If you change the perception on how you study, the outcome and the actions that we're going to bring after that are going to be awesome. But first, I got to get you to start reading, though. You have to start reading, though. First, I got to get you really to start reading your contract. Because let me tell you something. Those of you that have 10, 15 years to go, you can make it better. But you got to get active. And it doesn't really take a lot. Because postal management don't read. They don't read. So if you read a little bit, you're five steps ahead of them already. And you would think that because I podcast, they don't read, that maybe they would start reading. And let me tell you something. That's a win-win situation also. Because if they start reading, they'll understand that I cannot just ask this employee who works in Section A to every day go to Section B and do a job that's outside of his bid. If they read, they would understand that. But hey, this is me. This is the podcast. Understand, MHAs, when we get back to holiday scheduling, while the Postal Service is cutting hours, an opportunity to increase your money should not be squandered. And it's imperative that union personnel, man, start to understand that. And again, that's what you call fighting for your people. This is Kenny Hodge on the podcast. We're just getting started.